In this project, I'd like to especially acknowledge Ron Price, who's sitting in the front row, and Ron, will you wave your arm, and Sam LaFever, who's sitting in the back, who's going to be quiet, but Sam's in charge of the Environmental Public Health Tracking Network in Utah, and Ron is with the Center for High Performance Computing at the University of Utah, and this project is absolutely a collaboration of all of us. I'm just the one up here giving the presentation. So, for us, the goals for our demonstration project were to demonstrate feasibility and deployment of grid services on a public health grid, and to address a problem relevant to state public health that may benefit from grid infrastructure. And then, finally, to evaluate our effort and all the issues that would come up along the way. So our first challenge was to decide which public health problem may benefit from grid architecture. We wanted to find a problem that uses disparate heterogeneous data, that requires data integration across jurisdictions, both for local and national use, and identify a system that currently is not scalable based on the architecture that's supporting it now, and to identify a problem that requires ongoing need for data and analytic tools. We had a different scenario. Unlike Columbia, we weren't coming with a tool that we wanted to gridify. We were saying what problem would make sense for us to start tackling. So we decided to address the Environmental Public Health Tracking Network for all of the reasons listed here. Basically, the network involves data silos that are not integrated. Many of you may already be familiar with the Environmental Public Health Tracking Networks, but if not, I just want to give a little background that the network pulls data from, you know, cancer registries. In our case, that's sitting up at the University of Utah. The environmental data is sitting in Department of Environmental Quality, and vital records data is sitting at the Department of Health. Those are just three different types of data. They need to analyze. It's difficult to analyze this data in its disparate sources. And the volume of data is growing exponentially. There are redundant instances of relevant applications and data silos in order to meet program needs. For example, geocoding is something that SAM provides that service for a lot of different programs. The local health departments would like to be able to geocode data. There's special ad hoc projects. For example, the immunization registries would like to be able to geocode their data for program assessment and where to target their efforts. Then there's also lots of impediments to data sharing. And also, the Environmental Public Health Tracking Network is a system that's being developed and evolving right now, so there's actually an opportunity to, for innovation with this system. So this is a cartoon of the current architecture. And we'll use this metaphor several times throughout this talk. On the bottom, in yellow, are the data. And the data, in their native environment are sitting in different administrative domains. And there's birth data and air data. The data is moved by sneaker net, basically put on CDs and walked across the hall or across the street to the data warehouse, which is sitting in Utah Department of Health. And the data warehouse is where the chunks of data that have been extracted are put together. And there, Sam and his team and John Contreras now georeference, standardize it, record link it, analyze it. And it's all under your sort of typical security with enterprise logons and file, access authorizations and whatnot. And then the data moves again by SneakerNet to the researchers who, get files based on their IRB approvals, or a chunk of data may go to the public health indicator-based information system that's a unique resource in Utah, where a chunk of data goes and sits in that, essentially a warehouse, and is accessible by queries by the public and public health folks. So this is the current system. And some additional facts that are relevant to grid are the sources are disconnected, both inside and out. I already said the sneaker net. A major point is the data latency is a function of business operations. If the birth data, if you acquire your subset of data, in annual chunks, January of 2008, you're getting your year's worth of data for 2006, that means that the data that you're able to analyze is anywhere from a year to 2 years old. And that's the typical scenario. And, it may be decreased based on different business processes, but basically you're getting data in chunks that has a long latencies or may have long latencies. Then the transformation processes are manual and semi-automatic. And then the end users are disconnected and security is rigidly controlled by administrative rules. So what we did for our project was to explore data and analyses that were relevant to Environmental Public Health Tracking Network. And we evaluated Globus and CI Grid technology and options for analytic grid services. And then we implemented data grid services at the University of Utah Center for High Performance Computing. And we simulated the Environmental Public Health Tracking Network environment with having separate administrative domains and different types of databases and whatnot, and the need to do federated queries. We used the existing table structures of the air data and the birth data. And we used de-identified data from those two data sources. And then we had at it, and we evaluated the effort and all the data sharing issues that came along the way and have IRB approval to do this. So this is a deployment diagram of the current implementation. And essentially, we have data sitting in an Oracle database. It's the vital birth records and zip code data sitting in Oracle databases, sort of simulating Utah Department of Health. The air data is sitting in a MySQL database. We have a federated query node that can pull the data and do a join. Right now, the join is not, you know, a clinically relevant join. It's on identifiers that, but essentially, we can do a federated query across two data sets, and then have implemented, you know, clients through the API and have a web browser that can view and do the queries either independently or a join across the two. And so essentially, we now have, we've eliminated the data warehouse. We have secure connections to the native environments. This is simulated, but it's actually the same thing. I mean, once you have the data sharing agreements up and whatnot. The lag now is reduced to the data owner's business process. So now, birth data, it takes 3 days to get the data from the hospital to the health department. It takes about 3 months to get go through the QA and get the text processing done for complications and whatnot. But basically now, if you were to implement this, it would be 3 months lag based on the data owner's business processes, not based on the business processes of the network. The data owners can manage the access security and could turn off access if they wanted to. The warehouse is eliminated. We have not automated these processes, but theoretically those would all be automated. That's where we're now defining what analytic processes to gridify or grid enable. And then access can either be through a web browser, which we have now, or accessing it through SAS or, you know, ArcGIS using the API. And one of the benefits would be a potential single sign-on for access to all of the data that you're authorized to access, as opposed to now you need to individually access the different sources. So then we have, we've got the grid services all set up and it's secure, which has been a huge task. Ron has, it's been about 5 months of working with the folks in Ohio and with the CDC folks, and also he's been a been doing grid work for several years. And we feel like now we've got it figured out with respect to the data grid services, and now we're moving on to the analytic grid services. And so we've been gone around in circles and basically have thought that we need to identify analytic processes that may benefit from a single source code repository to minimize code maintenance efforts. So geocoding is an obvious one there. And then identify processes with a high need for internal and external reuse. NLP would be that would be a good one. And then also geocoding and georeferencing again keeps coming up as the logical candidate for us. And then we're planning to do sort of some specific analyses looking at the relationship between air exposure and birth outcomes associated with exposure during the first trimester. We kind of got fancy at first and realized that that's a very specific analysis for that you wouldn't necessarily do over and over again. And basically, you should be using the GRID data services to access your data, but go ahead and run your specific analyses on the geocoded, georeferenced, already sort of pre-processed data, but run your specific analyses through SAS or ArcGIS or, you know, Met, whatever, MATLAB or whatever analytic tool you want to use, but access the API to then access the data. And so one, Sam, thank you for this diagram. We were thinking about the, you know, an obvious thing to do would be to have a GRID service to define proximal exposure. And, you know, the red is the exposure, and you've got a population of people out there. And one thing that you need to do whenever you do an analysis of environmental, the relationship between environmental exposures and health outcomes, is you need to have some definition of exposure. And so defining proximal exposure is basically a function of time and distance since an exposure. And so a very good candidate for our first service would be, you know, geocoding, and then, which is basically taking the text string and making it into a longitude latitude, and then georeferencing is putting the longitude and latitude in relation to something like zip code and whatnot. And zone of influence would be you would define your time and distance parameters of interest and specify a zone of influence. And in terms of sharing the data across jurisdictions and looking at this data in other areas and compiling data, there's a big concern about sharing geocoded data because you are losing your, it's identifiable, but you could share, you know, data that's labeled by zone of influence or and that would be a better candidate for sharing data across jurisdictions with other COEs and other folks. So, and this is just a deployment diagram of showing how you would enable the, you know, using MATLAB or SAS, access the GRID API for the clients that access the data. So our major accomplishments so far are a functional federated query of the disparate systems, implementation of GRID security, collaboration with CDC and CA GRID developers. We've sent the GRID team a secure and insecure data service client, and they've been able to successfully query our data GRID, both with and without security. And we've learned many lessons related to complex data sharing issues. And being early adopters, we've run into a lot of bumps in the road, like you've already heard about, but it's working pretty smoothly now and feel like CA GRID and GRID are promising. And some of the benefits for state public health would be that the data remains in its native environment, and basically the concept of the data owners continuing to maintain and update their own data as opposed to having redundant data in warehouses is a very important concept. The security is more flexible and configurable. The infrastructure is extendable and flexible and scalable, and the access is more automated as opposed to the manual process. And we also look forward to being able to leverage, the NLP resources and other things that could be on the GRID. So our next steps are to integrate with the analytic tools and to collaborate with COEs and CDC and whoever else wants to use the NLP and other GRID-enabled tools and allow access to our simulated data through the GRID services. I think the GRID is basically an ecosystem of GRID developers, so it already has sort of a community of practice, as you've heard. But create trust. This is Ron's words. Create trust between Utah and CDC GRIDs to allow interoperation, and explore integration of air data with RODS to create health-based alerts, as opposed to right now in Utah, the alerts are based on, you know, particulate content in the air, and therefore, you know, it's red, green, yellow days. But why not integrate it with the health health-based data coming out of ER visits for asthma and whatnot. We already have that RODS implemented in Utah, and so we've got the data feeds going. And finally, I'd like to acknowledge the entire team and folks from Matt Seymour, as well as Wu and Sam Lefevre and John and Jeff Duncan at Utah Department of Health, and Julio and Ron and Walter and Brad at, Wayne and Adi at University of Utah. So thank you very much.